The following talk was given by Norm Randolph at Dharma Field Meditation and Learning Center in Minneapolis on August 1, 2021. This talk may not be played or reproduced for profit.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for coming today. I was going to read some selections today from Kadigya Roshi's book, You Have to Say Something. And I was going to read several passages from here. And then afterwards, if you'd like to talk about any of them, we could discuss some of them if you'd like.
Is it right enough in your mind?
This is from the section Participating in the Life of the World. Through Zazen, we can understand things as they truly are before we get caught up in our conceptualizations about them. But if you want to do Zazen, you have to learn true Zazen, which is something more than the Zazen we think it is. To do Zazen correctly is to immediately go beyond all distinctions. This is difficult to understand, but it is what we are actually trying to do. We usually handle Zazen with our conceptualizing mind and our emotions. What we think we want to learn is the Zazen that will satisfy our desires. We think of Zazen as a technique to improve ourselves and to acquire states of mind that we're lacking. We see Zazen as a means to improve the separate ego self we imagine ourselves to be. We want the Zazen that will satisfy these desires. We may have many ideas about what Zazen is and what it will do for us. But whatever we read or think about Zazen, it is not true Zazen. By sticking with our ideas, we ignore true Zazen and we ignore life as it truly is. So we have to learn to realize what we know directly before we get caught up in our ideas. Because we get caught up in our conceptualizations, our ideas, our beliefs, we overlook what is directly experienced each moment. And very naturally, that will lead to confusion. We need to know what our life is directly. And without being caught up in our limited views, and without being caught up in our expectations about what this way of life will do for us. The Buddha and other great teachers have always pointed to the reality that is here before we get caught up in conceptualization. We have to realize this world, this reality, and understand it as it is. Conceptualization is important, of course. It's a kind of blueprint or conceptual model of the world that we draw upon. And we to function in life, it's helpful to have conceptual models. But we can't live within these conceptual models and think that they exactly correspond to how reality is. We can't just depend on some blueprint, some conceptual explanation about what reality is. When we do, we become onlookers in the world of concepts. We look and think and imagine, and though we study our blueprints or conceptual models, we don't understand just what it is that we are imagining. When you burn paper, you probably think that the paper is something other than the fire. This is the world of conceptualization. But actually, there's no separation. Paper is fire, fire is paper. But even saying, quote, paper is fire, fire is paper, unquote, is dualistic. It's still a conceptual explanation of the situation. If we think that completely defines the situation, then we're caught up in our concepts, ignoring actual experience. Kadagir Roshi goes on to say, if I talk of my death, I can't explain the reality of it in words. Why? Because first I have to say the subject, I. Next comes the verb, die. First there's me, who isn't death, and then comes, in quotes, dies. It's very dualistic. In reality, things are not separate in the way they are in language. The paper is fire, I am life, I am death. There is no gap between them. But we get used to understanding the world through the concepts we use to describe it. This is why no matter how long we discuss this problem, we don't get it. We have to just see it. We have to directly experience it without being caught up in our concepts. The Zen monk Gassan was asked by his teacher, Keizan Zenji, do you know there are two moons? Gassan didn't understand, but he contemplated this statement for 3 years. Gassan's practice was very serious and very deep, and eventually he understood his teacher Keizan's point. If we see the moon in the sky, we would say it is just one moon. But this is just our common understanding, the understanding of our conceptual mind. It is not really direct experience. It is not really directly seeing reality. When we conceptualize, we always bring ourselves up first. When we say, I see the moon, there is some separation, some duality. But in reality, you and the moon are merged completely. Our practice is to see this reality in which there is no separation between, in quotes, you and, in quotes, moon. Beyond our likes and dislikes, something is constantly happening. Beyond all human criticism and evaluation, life goes on. In reality, your life is always being supported by all beings, all in all things. This is why the teacher Keizan told Gassan that there are two moons. There is the moon we conceptualize, and there is the moon as it is, completely interfused with all beings. If I see the moon, I am the moon. Conceptually, we believe there is one moon. And of course, conventionally speaking, it is so. But the moon of our thought is not the real moon, because the conceptualizing mind always inserts the self first before we acknowledge the moon as it is. But beyond mundane thoughts and speculations, you and the moon are wondrously interfused. This is true reality. It is not an idea. It is inconceivable. It is where you and moon are inter-identical. This is our life. Our practice is to live this life. Kadagiri Roshi says, when I was 14 years old, my mother died. The world seemed completely dark. I felt there was no hope for me. Day after day, I cried in my bed. It seemed that the more I cried, the more I tried to reach for her, the further from me she became. So I cried even more. I cried constantly. But all of a sudden, I stopped crying. I felt my mother had come into my heart. I can't explain it in words, but there was no longer any separation between me and my mother. She was in my heart. This goes for you too. There is you, and then there is the world. If there is even a small gap between them, we fill it with thought. As long as we create this gap, we will never understand. But in truth, there is no gap between you and the world. To become one with your object is true openness of heart. This is why we do Zazen. To practice Zazen is to really live as we are, live this reality where ultimately we can't find separation between ourselves and others. This isn't to attach to some idea of oneness. It's not to attach to any idea at all, but to live based on our actual direct here now experience. Gadagiri Roshi felt great grief when his mother died. Where had she gone? Where was she? Where does anyone go when they die? Always, alive or dead, are always living inseparably from reality and from all beings. We need to directly see this reality and live this reality. Usually we ignore this reality by getting caught up in our concepts, limited views, beliefs, assumptions. We live our life based on our limited one-sided views rather than realizing our life as it actually is. This isn't to cling to some idea of oneness. This is to realize our life directly as it is without being caught up in our ideas, beliefs, assumptions, or our expectations. It's to really live this life where we're living together with all beings and where all beings are functioning together, mutually assisting each other. This is our life. This is our practice, to live this reality where we and all beings are functioning together, mutually helping each other. This isn't to grasp the idea all beings are mutually assisting each other. This is to directly experience it without being caught up in our ideas about it. When Gadagiri Roshi's mother died when he was 14, he felt a deep sense of grief. He saw her as being separate from him, and that was very painful to him. But suddenly he realized, a little bit anyway, that his mother was right here with him. His mother was right here, inseparably living with him, inseparably living with all beings. She was living right here and now. She can't be anywhere else. This is our life, this here now reality, that we're living with all beings. We can't leave this reality. Our practice is to live this reality wholeheartedly, letting go of how we ignore it, letting go of how we get caught up in our limited views and overlook this great reality which is functioning and which we're functioning together with all beings. I've told a story about seven wise women. And Mary lectured on this several months ago. And this was during the springtime. And everybody was going to the countryside to see the beautiful flowers and enjoy the wonderful spring day. But these seven women, the leader of the seven women, said, instead of going to the countryside and observing the flowers, let's go to the charnel grounds. Charnel grounds were where they used to put the bodies of people who had died back in those days, and then they would be naturally eaten by the animals and insects. Rather than burying them, they would leave them out for the animals and insects to devour them. So this one woman said, let's go to the charnel grounds. And the other wise women said, well, let's, what would we want to go there for? They're just a bunch of dead bodies. That doesn't sound like it'd be very fun to go there and see that. But the leader of the women said, let's just go there. Let's see what we can see. We might see something very helpful there. So instead of going to view the flowers and the beautiful spring scenery, the women went to the charnel grounds where there were lots of corpses being devoured by animals and insects. And the leader of the wise women said, she pointed to one of the corpses and said, the corpse is here. Where is the person? The corpse is here. Where is the person? And when she said that, all of the women woke up. They suddenly realized this reality where everything is. They realized this here now, directly experienced reality that is our true life. They realized this. So the leader of the wise woman asked, where did the corpse go? Where else is there? Where did Katagiri Roshi's mother go? Where else is there? Suddenly the women realized that there's no place other than this here now reality, this directly experienced here now reality. This is our life that we must lead and that we must live. Katagiri Roshi realized that his life was inseparable from that of his mother, from that of all things. He realized his true life was his life of all beings, this directly experienced here now reality. You can't go anyplace else. If we ask, where are these people who have died? We can ask again, well, where else is there? Where else but here now is this directly experienced reality where all beings are functioning together inseparably, mutually assisting each other and helping each other? The clock is moving too slowly. So I'll tell another story similar to this. This involves the great Zen teacher Wang Po. Once Wang Po, his Chinese Zen master, lived in the Tang Dynasty. One time Wang Po left his monastery, where he was the teacher, and went to another monastery where he worked as one of the workers in the monastery. He didn't go there as a teacher. He just went to work with the regular workers in the monastery. And this monastery was visited one time by a government minister. And the government minister came into the monastery and he saw a picture of a monk. And this was a monk who had been very important in the development of this monastery. And the government minister said, "What is that?" And then the director of the monastery said, "That's a picture of a person who is the director of this monastery. That's a person who is very influential in the development of this monastery." And the government minister said, "I can see it's a portrait. I can see that, but where is the person? Where is the person that's being depicted in the portrait?" The director of the monastery couldn't answer the question. "The portrait is here, but where is the director?" "No, the portrait is here, but where is the person that the portrait depicts?" No one could answer this question. Finally, someone said, "Well, there's a visiting monk who came from another monastery, and he seems to have a pretty deep understanding of things." This was Wang Po. So they went and asked Wang Po, and the government minister said to Wang Po, "There's the picture, the portrait of a person who was important in the development of this monastery. But where is the person? Where is that person?" And Wang Po called out to the government minister. He said, "Government minister, where are you?" Suddenly the government minister understood. He's right here now. This is what his life is. This is the true life of the person who had been in the portrait. This is the true life of all beings, here now reality. This is where all beings are. This is where our life is unfolding, where our life is taking place. One time a person was asked, after the Zen teacher Bodhidharma died, where did he go? Another person answered, "He's never been anywhere else. Where else could he be than here and now? Where else could anything be but here and now? Is there some reality other than here and now reality?" This reality shows up in all sorts of different ways, but each way it shows up is a manifestation of here and now reality, manifesting itself in its own unique way, moment after moment. But the reality is always the reality of here and now. We can't escape this reality. Usually we ignore it or overlook it by getting caught up in our ideas and beliefs. But eventually we can be seen that this is where our life is going on. This is where we are. This is where all beings are. In this way of life, we can have some relief from the great anxiety and fear we have of being separated from what we love and from what we want. We need to see what our life is. We need to see this reality that is being directly experienced now. Our practice is to see and live this reality without being caught up in our limited views and expectations and dualistic assumptions and limited views and beliefs. Continually live this reality. When we see that we're caught up in our limited views, concepts, and beliefs, When you see that we're doing that, just resume the practice of being aware here and now. Resume the practice of letting go of how we ignore this reality and fully living this reality. Fully living this reality and taking care of it appropriately in the situations that we're in. This reality manifests differently in different situations. And, you know, it's always manifesting freshly. We try to be aware of how to take care of this reality as it's manifesting now. So we try to find in each moment the best way to take care of what's manifesting here and now, without being caught up in our beliefs and ideas and limited views. We continue with this practice. Do you have any questions about what I've said? Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure you can hear me through my mask. I want to thank you for your talk today.
Thank you. Thank
As
you.
As someone who lost my wife, I found this kind of comforting to say that she's here with me right now. Of course, at the same time, it seems a little creepy, too.
You know, maybe lower your mask a little bit. I think I can.
Okay. At the same time, it seems a little creepy, too. You know, it's comforting and creepy at the same time.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. See? Repeat what you said. I think I missed the last two sentences.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
He missed what you were saying about your wife.
Oh, yeah. I lost my wife, you know, 5 months ago.
Right.
And, you know, so thinking that she's right here with me right now is kind of comforting. Although at the same time, I have to admit, it also seems a bit creepy, too. Could you hear that?
Yeah, not an idea of your wife, actual.
Yeah.
Actual, she's here. Everybody is right here. It's not in an objectifiable way. So, but everything is right here. But we can't objectively see that. But yet, we're directly experiencing that reality. We can't see it as an object. We can't understand it conceptually. But yet, it's being directly experienced now. In that sense, we never lose anything. Everything is always right here with us. It's not, it doesn't correspond to the ideas we had about what our loved one was or what she was like or whatever. It can't be put into a conceptual framework, but everything is right here. And in seeing that, we can have an appreciation of what our life is. It involves everybody, everybody helping everybody else. Conceptually, it doesn't look like everybody helping everybody else. It looks like a dog-eat-dog world a lot of the time when we see it in a dualistic, conventional way. But if we see it in a beyond our conventional, conceptual, dualistic models of reality, we can realize it's a reality where everything is functioning together, working together, mutually supporting each other. And there can be some great relief in that. Thank you, Mike. I was thinking this would take a lot longer than what it's taken. I'm sorry. Yeah. Oh, hi, David.
I'll add a little bit of fluff. When Thich Nhat Hanh's mother died, he was feeling what Kaiyuri was.
When what?
When Thich Nhat Hanh's mother died.
Oh, yeah.
And then he realized that she was in the sky, in the clouds, in the trees, in the flowers.
That's right. She's every expression of this reality is. She's there. You know? She is with everything. The reality of her life can't be hidden. It's everywhere. And that life, that true life, is showing up in all these different ways. Everything is manifesting that true life in its own unique way, in the trees and the clouds, and the grass, the thing that I talked about. Yeah, Kadagiri Roshi saw that too. Yeah, thank you for bringing that up. Well, unless there are more questions, maybe I'll sign off. So, well, thank you very much for coming today.
Thank you for listening. To hear more talks on Buddhism, Zen, and related topics, visit dharmafield.org.